Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast, the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I'm a writer for the Viking Age Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. Today's guest is the managing editor of zonecoverage.com. Covers everything from the Vikings, the Wolves, Wild, and Twins. Tom Schreier joins us. And I owe you an apology already, Tom, because I didn't give you the full Pat McAfee ring introduction to the show.
That's right.
I wasn't creative enough to think of something. So you're going to have to just put up with it.
First of all, I appreciate that you're not standing while introducing me to your podcast. Secondly, I know you're a McAfee guy. I know you love that man who goes on ESPN linear without sleeves. Sometimes it's a hockey jersey without sleeves, yells into a microphone, says bro. But we should let the audience know I was supposed to do this last week. I actually don't remember everything. The thing I remember is I needed this little dongle. I think that's the technical term for it. The thing that connects the USB port to, what were you calling it? The lightning cable in my computer?
Lightning port. That's what Apple lightning calls port. It. Yeah.
And I know you're a big Apple guy. And I've had good luck with Apple computers. I'm good with them. I got a new one because I had an old one that was not working and I didn't realize that there was no USB port. Generally it's fine. It's just a bummer that's $20. And I think what had happened is the last time I had done a podcast, I stuck it in my pocket and then I put those pants in the wash and then it went through the wash and then the dryer and then unsurprisingly didn't work. So I had no idea where it was. I was like freak out because I'm one of those people who I literally have the same stuff in the same pockets all the time. I literally just like carry on a backpack because obviously I'm going to the stadiums or traveling or whatever. And like I have everything in the same slot, you know what I mean? Because otherwise I just lose it. And listen, at the end of the day, $20 for one of these little dongles wasn't the end of the world, but it was just a bummer where we were trying to kind of scramble, trying to find a time to do the show. And all of a sudden I'm hitting it being like, I'm missing a $20 piece of equipment. And turns out, you know, we're here. I sound good. I think I'm connected to my mic and we're off and running.
Yeah, I had a walking, talking time bomb also coming to Brookings, but that's another conversation. My friend just said, I'm coming. And I said, that's great. I have a podcast to record at 3:00. So don't come in and yell and scream stuff. That would be bad.
How far, remind me how far, I mean, I won't get into particulars here to protect everyone's identity, but how far did that guy come? It's like a 4 or 5 hour. How far away is that?
From where he lives, it's about 2.5 hours.
Oh, okay. So it's not as bad.
Yeah, he just woke up and he's like, I'm coming down. And I'm like, okay. And yeah.
I mean, dude, that's fun, obviously, to have the spontaneity, but it's not as insane as I thought. I mean, you said 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's not super close, but I guess it's a little, that's, you know, gives you some availability there.
Yeah.
But yes, that is insane. I mean, I'm sure I've told you my buddy Riles when he was going to St. Cloud State, and granted, that was only an hour and a half away, but we just like moved into my parents' house for 2 summers or just like randomly hit us up, me and my buddy, and be like, oh, I'm in town, let's do this. And we're like, dude, it's Tuesday. And you're the one always being like, I'm busy, I gotta work, you know, or whatever. But hey, listen, I think you probably had a good time. We're able to get the show on. And honestly, this is one of the time. I mean, obviously it's a little hard this time of year to think of Vikings topics, you know, we'll look back at the draft, what they did in free agency, how they're building out the team and stuff like that. But this is the only real dry period, right? You know, you're thinking like June, you know, whatever it was, June 15th, middle of June, you had the last mini camp, and then training camp does open the 27th. I did talk to someone with the Vikings. You know, obviously we had the Kirk Cousins show, right, or the quarterback last year, and then now we're going to have Justin Jefferson with receivers. And like, I was like, hey, you got to keep your guys on these shows because, A, it did wonders for Cousins. I think this will just elevate Justin Jefferson. I don't think we'll think much different of him, but like, dude, that put that guy in a spotlight and people will fall in love with him nationally, obviously. And then, you know, I was like, yeah, whatever it is, you get two defensive ends next year or something like that. Dallas Turner's got to be on it or whatever it is, because I made, and we did at Zone Coverage, we broke down every element of that show with Kirk Cousins, whether it was like why the play call was so complicated, or, you know, I mean, literally you could quantify with Kirk Cousins last year, just looking at his Madden ratings and other like PFF scores and stuff, like things like that, like went up, right? Because, you know, I was getting texts from people. I had friends who were Packers fans. I had friends who could catch Seattle and stuff like fans, the Niners, whatever, like fans of teams that don't have much to do with the Vikings. And we're like, oh, Kirk Cousins just seems like a good Midwestern dude. And like, they did a good job with that show with him around the fire and, you know, whatever, talk about Coles or whatever the hell it was. And like, I mean, listen, he's a goofy guy. I do think, you know, at least in that regard, right? We're not really sure how JJ McCarthy will pan out, but McCarthy definitely seems like a likable guy, right? If he gets his moment in the spotlight, I think you're going to see someone similar, someone who grew up in the Chicago suburbs and went to Michigan and very much a Midwestern kid. And like, you know, Cousins, I always said, like, listen, he's a strange guy. He puts up the stats. He's frustrating at times, but he seems like a good dude. I've never felt differently about it. Justin Jefferson obviously just has that, you know, magnetic, you know, star quality to him that, you know, hopefully this show, I'm really excited to see. Like, I think people see kind of a normal guy, kind of a Southern guy, but also a dude who's like ready for the spotlight, who likes that everyone's doing the gritty and loves being one of the best, you know, receivers in the NFL.
You know, I jokingly call it the don't get arrested portion of the off season. Like,
yeah.
You know, coming home the other day from Minneapolis, I went down Highway 169, which I lovingly call the Corin Robinson Memorial Speedway in St. Peter. But, you know, and then you have the Chiefs who, like, you know, there's dudes getting arrested. There's a kicker who thinks women should stay at home and just cook in the nude all the day and all that fun stuff. So, but we're not going to talk about any of that. No political drama. No, I'm interested to see receiver now that you brought it up. I mean, the trailer looks cool. I don't think if the trailer didn't look cool, it wouldn't be put out there because nobody would want to watch it. It is a little weird that they have just high echelon guys and a tight end just randomly mixed in. But George Kittle is awesome, so I'm totally cool with it. But
no. I think the only mistake there, though, and sorry, I'm sure this is not where we wanted the show to go. We'll get into tampering or whatever it was.
There's no breaking news right now, Tom. We can go wherever the hell we want.
I mean, I think the thing is, A, like, Netflix has done a good job. I think there was a time, I mean, I just know this working in media, that people were worried about Netflix, the entity, because they did not own a lot of the programming, right? Like, they don't own the ESPN 30 for 30s, and that's where I was watching them at the time. And, you know, they have, as much as I think, I mean, you know better than me, aren't they doing some WWE? And, like, they may eventually, we know, you know, HBO, for example, is doing the AFC North, and they're doing the Bears. And, like, you know, some of these guys are getting into sports programming, but they've actually done a really good job. Now, some of it, you know, listen, maybe it's not all great, but like, they've done a good job with most of this programming. And I thought The Quarterback was a really good show for what it was. I think the thing with like Kittle is that I did not, like, why not split off a tight end show next year? And the reason why I feel that is, A, selfishly, Hockenson's likable. I mean, he's a different, you know, you think of like Cousins was really, I think Cousins had to overcome this 500 record that he's mostly known for, this like, you like that weird moment, which is very like kind of Kirk Cousins, right? And like, you know, just, it's not like, I don't think people disliked him. I think there just was this like controversy locally that like half the fan base is going, man, finally you have a good quarterback. Why are we ruining this? And half the fan base is going, yeah, but he's good, not great, right? And that's like, that was the controversy here. And then nationally, he was just known as the poster boy. You know, I think of like Sandoz Tears, where this guy, you know, talks like 50 executives. I think the coaches are executives in the league. And like, he breaks the quarterbacks down into tiers 1 through 5. Like, Cousins was definitively tier 3, and that's like not the guy you want to be, right? The kind of guy, you know what I mean? The poster child for the mediocre, the middle quarterback, right? And I think like that helped his image, as we said, kind of Midwestern guy, normal guy. I think like with Justin Jefferson, it's like, listen, this dude's legit stardom. Like, he's ready for this. And at the same time, a team player and not a diva receiver and a really unique personality. Like, Hockenson's such a, it's hard to describe him, but he's almost kind of California. You know, he's a guy from Iowa, and he'll tell, you know, hey, I'm a Midwest guy or whatever. But you think of like the long hair, and he's kind of, he has like a surfer dude vibe. And I think that's not maybe as magnetic as like a Justin Jefferson, who went to an SEC school. And you know what I mean? There's that dude is just kind of has stardom all over him, but it is Hockenson's likable, man. And I'd like to see him in a show. I also think tight ends, you think of Kelsey, you think of Kittle, you think of, you know, I'm trying to go down the line of guys in the league, but it's hard not to like tight ends. They have to do two very hard jobs. They have to be in on blocking at times, right? They have to be a team player. Sometimes you're blocking, sometimes you have to run a route. You're also catching tough balls. Those are in the middle with big linebackers, with hard-hitting safeties and corners surrounding you. Kind of don't know who's going to hit you in a zone. You know what I mean? And like, think of what Hockenson went through last year. Again, I say likable as a guy, but also rib injuries are really painful, man. For a guy like him, I think of like Faber in hockey, Brock Faber going through the, I don't know how you play a contact sport like that where you're getting hit all the time. And it's, you know what I mean? The rib is just a unique pain, man. I've never broken my ribs. Knock on wood. I hope I never do. I try to avoid people in general. And like, hopefully no one comes into contact with me here soon. But I just think those guys are team players. They're tough dudes. And I like that Kittle's in it. Not that anything against Kittle. It's more just if you separate them out. Let's have a tight end show. You know, I mean, seriously, let's do a linebacker one and then D-ender. Think of where the personality is. Cornerbacks. I mean, dude, cornerback would be the fun. That's the craziest people in the world. Straight up the craziest people in the world play cornerback, right? And I think, you know, listen, Revis was a star of one of these Hard Knocks at one point, right? You think of Rex Ryan. Where's Revis? He's not, you know what I mean? And I think, yeah, to me, I just think you could cycle through these. You could also go back 5 years. Unfortunately, just the nature of the league, right? There's turnover. Like you could go back to receiver, you could go back to quarterback in 5 years. But that's the only thing I don't like about it is I'd rather have them, as much as Hockenson is kind of a receiver, Travis Kelce is kind of a receiver. I think Kittle is kind of a receiver. It's a different position. That's the only thing I don't like. And you're not lacking in personalities for receivers. Chad Johnson, for example, you know, I was thinking through Hard Knocks where you have the AFC and you're like, the AFC has killed Hard Knocks. Of course they want that division, right? The first one is Baltimore, right? Yeah. Cincinnati, you had crazy Zimmer, but everyone remembers Chad Johnson because he was hilarious. And with Cleveland, I just remember like that. I'm trying to remember the guy's name, but the crazy assistant they had who was just cracking jokes the whole time.
Was he the guy with the big gut? And he went,
Hoo! Yeah.
I can't remember his name, but yeah.
I want to say it's Wink Martindale, but I actually don't think that's
it was not.
And it was one of Hugh Jackson's assistants. And I remember being like, dude, Hugh Jackson should not be running a football team. Like, I just think, in my mind, there's just a lot on tap there. And I'm kind of waiting for that show. Not only just excited to see Jefferson in it and kind of get to know these other receivers, but also from a content standpoint, man, it's June 18th. We got a little time here. We got to figure out what's going on.
Just get weird with it, like have like guard, just big beanie men, just bumping meat.
Hey, Dalton Reisner. Know. Dalton Reisner.
Yeah.
I don't know who else. Dalton Reisner. Listen, he did you catch the whole thing about him, all the food he's eaten since coming back to Minnesota?
Yeah. I was just hearing about it. Yeah.
I was dying, dude. I mean, that guy is such a funny guy. You know, small town Colorado. He's from Wiggins, Colorado. One of five. Dad was a football coach. I have a friend who, now I'm trying to think if Wiggins has all brothers, but like I have a friend who is like four brothers and like there's the most fun family to hang out with because it was just chaotic all the time and super, you know, you get video games over here, you get a whole basketball game going in the backyard, whatever. And so he's just, I don't know, he's kind of this funny, like small town dude, played for his hometown team, but I think had a falling out with the Broncos, has played pretty well, but he's not, you know, he wants that starting guard money. He's not getting that. And, you know, I assume kind of a hard negotiator at times. And at the same time, just like always talks highly of his teammates and really friendly. I noticed he had Cholula in his locker. And I kind of asked, I was like, is that because he couldn't find it right in the new facility? You know, because he joined. And he goes, oh, no, I know where it is. If you want this, you can have it. I'm like, I'm not going to have your like half used bottle of Cholula, man. But like, I do appreciate the thought. He'd be fun. I just don't know how many guards, you know, he's so unique in that. Usually those guys are pretty low key. They kind of talk collectively, right? Because their job is so linked to the guy next to them. But there's so many positions in the NFL. I mean, dude, think of a running back show, just like the general thought of like, listen, this was the most important position football behind quarterback, but like for a long time, right? The starts were the running backs, and now the fact that the Packers move on from a guy like Aaron Jones, right? And just how football has changed with the rules and just what people want to watch, right? I mean, as much as Adrian Peterson was electric, unless you're a star of that caliber, I think most people would want to watch what Justin Jefferson does, right? His route running, his ability to dodge tacklers, the crazy, obviously the Buffalo catch, right? And stuff like that. It's a fascinating sport. And I just think there's so many different, we're so quarterback focused because it's so important, but I actually think you could highlight these other positions, the other people. And I actually think like people like Mariota, right? You know, you come away from the show, it's not just Kirk Cousins. You come away from the show, like, those become kind of your guys. You become invested in their career because you saw them on TV, because you saw them behind the scenes.
You know, you could also do kickers. One of the most popular football books is Paper Lion by George Plimpton. Yep. I think that was back in the 1950s or whatever. But
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, it's another thing like guard, like how many kickers have personality? Like there's Justin Tucker and I don't know. People really talk well about Will Reichard, the person. Dallas Turner called him a cold-blooded sniper, which is hilarious because he's going to the Vikings, which everybody hates kickers and everybody's terrified of them everything else. Personally, and this might just be a little bit of my own interests in mind, George Kittle, massive wrestling fan. I don't know if they will fight because I think he showed up at WrestleMania 39 last year in Los Angeles and I think he punched The Miz in the face or something and like helped McAfee win a match or something. Everything circles back to Pat McAfee apparently.
Yeah, your hero.
Exactly. Bro.
George Kittle got in the ring, punched that guy out. Bro.
See, like here's the thing. Like the enthusiasm's awesome. So they have him doing Monday Night Raw commentary now. And one of the things that they have him do, they have the Patastrator, which is him just like, they give him this tablet and like, you know, he can do the circle thing and whatever. And like last night, there's this storyline, non-wrestling fans, I'm trying to think of how to put it, but the chick who is champion, Raw champion, Rhea Ripley is her name. She got taken out by Liv Morgan and she's hurt for a while, like legitimately like segment gone wrong. She separated her shoulder or something. Oh. So she's out for a couple of months. So anyways, Liv Morgan has just turned in, it's called the Liv Morgan Revenge Tour. And Rhea's side hustle was Dominic Mysterio, who is the kid of Rey Mysterio. So the whole time Liv is trying to hit on Dominic and stuff, and she left a hotel room key. Well, Dominic's part of this group called the Judgment Day. And like the week before, the hotel room key was missing. So long-winded way of saying, like they had Pat McAfee, like, go through the footage of like him talking to them, like, where's the hotel room key, and showed one of the other guys in this group, the Judgment Day, taking the room key and sticking it in his pocket. And he's like, this guy just got caught in 4K. Look at this right here. And then going to like another clip where she like fell on top of him, was straddling him. And he's like, look at this right here. This is, I know George Kittle is a big wrestling fan himself. I don't know if there'll be any McAfee things, but he actually has a friendship with a wrestler by the name of Pentagon. And he like paints his face and he's got like the skull and crossbones thing going on and whatever. So I don't know if like we're going to see George Kittle go into like a Lucha Libre show or something, which would be hilarious and awesome and trigger everybody who hates wrestling. But, you know, it is, I think that's some of the, like, even as a writer, I love the stories where I profile dudes under the helmet. Yeah. Like, who are they? What are they like? What got them into football and that sort of stuff? And that's why I became a writer. Like, I think, you know, from a wrestling standpoint, and I promise I'll get off of it, but like Beyond the Mat's one of my favorite documentaries because it profiles, you know, who these people are behind their character and everything else. I believe it was Warren Sapp when, you know, players were getting penalized for celebrating left and right. It's like, you never get to know the person behind the helmet. And like these days we have so many avenues to learn who these people are. We have Hard Knocks. We have in-season Hard Knocks now, you know, like if they ever did Hard Knocks with the Vikings, you know, we'd probably learn a lot more about Kevin O'Connell behind the scenes and like kind of how he got into it. Like all of it's really fascinating. Unless like you're doing the Jets where everybody's just Aaron Rodgers' puppet. But I think, you know, it is fun as a fan. What's that?
The Jets one last year was not.
It was not.
Yeah, saying, yeah.
It was like, hey, Aaron Rodgers is here and he wanted to meet the voice of God. And they did it because whatever.
Yeah. And they had some leverage. Happy. Well, and they had some leverage because like they would not show the players who actually got cut. Right. They tried to build the tension of like these guys could go and you got to like them. They're playing ping pong together or whatever. And like, I mean, Kevin O'Connell famously cut on Hard Knocks. That Hard Knocks is going to be that was one of the better ones. I haven't seen all of them, but like that was one of the better ones where, you know, you had the shake weights and you had, you know, I mean, unfortunately Cromartie and, you know, which everyone remembers and like, you know, I'm trying to Rex Ryan just in general. Right. And I think, yeah, I mean, I understand why the teams don't want it. I think the exposure matters. Obviously any media person would say that, but the same thing, like some of this, my favorite stuff is writing about, you know, Dalton Reisner's background, right? Or Cam Bynum, you know, and his connection with the Philippines, or for me, Jordan Hicks, just him coming back from that horrific injury, and he suffered it as he was playing as well as he had, you know, at least in Minnesota, and Ivan Pace, undrafted guy, right, who makes the team, J.J. McCarthy's journey, right? I think Sam Darnold's one of the most interesting guys right now because the league's kind of given up on him. I actually thought maybe he'd take advantage of the second chance in Carolina. That was the Matt Rhule team that I think Baker Mayfield was involved in there. I think Bridgewater, you know, like he was always kind of competing for a job. I mean, the Vikings very much believe in nurture over nature, or at least that nurture is what they can control and has a huge influence and under, you know, who will succeed. And that's why they're spending the money on Justin Jefferson aside from, you know, he's earned it, right? And that's why they make sure they have Greener and Turner and you know, Harrison Smith there, right, in terms of the culture and continuity along the offensive line. They believe if they take care of all those mechanisms, J.J. McCarthy has the most, you know, is likely to succeed. But Sam Darnold should benefit from that. You know, you think of the Fowler report. I don't know if you saw that, where they were like, you know, they see some untapped potential in him. And that they, it sounded like they were comfortable starting him all year. Now we talked through, and I don't have the schedule in front of me, but you know, you could find after the break here, you assume Darnold will play until the bye, right? Unless he gets hurt. But, and even then, like Mullins might step in, but you know, McCarthy could come in kind of the softer spot of the schedule. But this is the best team Darnold's ever been on. And this is, he's veteran enough. You know, Cousins had flashcards and was working on all this stuff with O'Connell's offense because it's so complicated. You know, the play calls we saw on the show, right? Him listening to it in his van or whatever, his car. And like, Darnold will have to go through all that. But the payoff is you're going to have situations you just throw it up to Justin Jefferson. The payoff is you have an offensive line that should keep you upright, right? The payoff is you can run legit play action if you need to, or just run actual running plays. Yeah, Aaron Jones and... even he will benefit in a way that the players didn't last year, where that defense looks good. Like you think of Flores and he literally does like write on, I don't know if it's on the walls, but he has like whiteboards and stuff. I think Metellus described how he is like, he's what you think he's like a football genius, right? He's like pouring over the tape and instead of how do these guys fit in my system? It's like, what should Metellus do? What is Metellus as a player and how should I use him? And imagine that now with Greener, Turner, right? I mean, Turner, I think, is as much as you give a lot of picks to get him. Like, I think that guy, that's a great pick. You know, you think through like Pace in the second year and, you know, Murphy and who's returning, right? And like, suddenly you see elements of Van Ginkle and Cashman, right? Like, you see elements of this great defense, or at least a better defense this year. And so not only is it like Darnold has the capability to score, he doesn't have to run up the score to win. And I think people here, I don't know if it'll be national. I think it won't be everybody, but people here may get on board with Darnold because he's a sympathetic figure, because he didn't choose to go to the Jets. You know what I mean? And we know the Jets seemed dysfunctional when they had Aaron Rodgers, right? And when they had supposedly what they needed in terms of pretty good defense and some exciting young players. I know Dalvin Cook went over there and stuff like that. And yet even now they're in the news because Aaron Rodgers, like, left a, you know, didn't show up at a practice for an unexcused absence, right? And you know what I mean? And you go, how the hell does that happen? You know, that's just, they are kind of just the Jets, right? And I think if the Vikings are trying to shed their kind of just the Vikings, it's different. They're seen as a functional organization that wins in the regular season but has a heartbreak in the postseason. Like, it starts with the sound fundamentals. And I think, I don't know, Darnold's going to be interesting next year, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, and this kind of gets the reason I wanted to have you on in the first place, because I feel like looking at all of these preseason predictions and these guys writing the June fluff pieces, or maybe fill time. I don't know the proper term for it, but it feels like there's a lot of people down on the Vikings. Vegas has a over under of 6.5 wins. They're underdogs in 14 of 17 games this year. You know, I was going to ask why you think people were so low on the Vikings, but I think one of my theories is the Sam Darnold effect, where, you know, we've seen a quarterback, especially with Darnold going to New York, going into that system where you're going to be on national TV a lot. You're going to be in the spotlight a lot. A lot of people, there's going to be a lot of media focused on your.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Development. You know, I think it's just burned into everybody's brain that Sam Darnold is bad and he can't succeed anywhere. Mm-hmm. He's bad in Carolina. He's bad in New York. Didn't play in San Francisco. And when he came in, he was bad, even though he only threw he played one game and threw five passes otherwise while Brock Purdy was concussed. Like, you know, I'm not saying that Sam Darnold's going to be an all-pro quarterback, which I would be shocked. But I mean, you look at Kevin O'Connell, you know, some of his early career work has been with Dennis Green, or not been with, it's followed the same footsteps, I should say. You know, Dennis Green came in, I think it was early 90s, you know, he's trotting the corpse of Jim McMahon out there. He's trotting Rich Gannon. He's got Warren Moon for a bit. Randall Cunningham, Jeff George, Brad Johnson, and kind of riding the carousel. And in year 8 or 9, he finally finds Dante Culpepper. He drafts him, has him sit on the sideline for an entire year, and turns him loose in 2000. The thing that hurt Culpepper was he found him so late in his tenure that he wasn't able to reap the benefits. As soon as he kind of slipped, it was, hey, why are you, I think it was 5-11 in 2001, even though Corey Stringer died, Robert Smith randomly retired, like a whole bunch of stuff went wrong with that team. Kevin O'Connell's not going to have any of that. So like when I look at Sam Darnold, I see a path to him succeeding right away because of the weapons that are there. But I also turn around and I look at JJ McCarthy, who is on the sidelines. He's probably going to have Kevin O'Connell there for a while, and he's going to be able to develop. So I don't know. Like, why do you think everybody's being reasonable with how low they are on the Vikings? Or do you think this is a team that maybe 5 or 6 wins this year and kind of takes a step back?
Yeah. I mean, I was just looking at this while you were talking here. Darnold, this isn't total. I think he only played in one game, but 28 for 46, 297 yards. I mean, it's just hard. The Niners thing, the value is actually not the playing experience. The value is being in the Shanahan scheme, right? And like having a similar coach.
It's like crossing. It's like when a coach crosses swords with Sean McVay in Vegas. Like,
yeah,
I know Sean McVay. That dude's crazy. But yeah, sorry, that McVay moment. Go ahead.
No, I mean, it's just very funny. Your eyes just lit up when I said Shanahan. But it is different. The terminology is different. He's a different coach, but it's similar enough, right? You talk about the Mandalay Bay crew, whatever you want to call them. But I think there is some truth to that, though. A, they probably all did go to bachelor parties in Vegas together. You know what I mean? I wouldn't be shocked. But also, you know, they do. It is these young coaches coach together. You think of the LaFleurs and the O'Connells and the whatever. And they all have their own take on kind of the McVay scheme, or, you know, Shanahan probably also comes from, his dad was a great coach, right? But they all have their own take on it and modernize it for football, but it is, they've shared thoughts, literally, you know what I mean? They've coached together. And I think, you know, the other thing is those guys are so much about, it is X's and O's. Listen, we can't get around the fact that O'Connell's trying to install a very complicated scheme. And I think he believes the scheme drives winning, not the quarterback, or at least that's fine in his system, right? You think of there's only a few quarterbacks really who, the Mahomes and the Burrows and all these guys who drive winning. But he believes, like, I think this is why he thinks Darnold can succeed here, is Darnold just has to run the system. He's like, the car kind of drives itself once you hit the pedal and you got someone watching where the traffic is or whatever, you know? And so Darnold doesn't have to be the star. But yeah. And Denny Green, he came in 92. I mean, that's crazy, right? You know, that's, by the way, went 11-5. And that is so far removed from Moss, 98. Culpepper, I think, was 2000. You know, I'm trying to think of the draft, or, so yes, he got Culpepper late. He goes 5-10. They release him. The fact that he was in the he had that job for 10 years in the NFL, where guys move on quick. The fact that in hindsight you probably would have just kept him around. You know what I mean? Whatever. But at some point you're a different coach. I think it was 43 when he was hired. I'm trying to look here. 43, and you're a different coach at 52, right? But O'Connell's going to have that too. And when he takes the job, I think he's 37, like, he is not that much older than his quarterback. And there are quarterbacks in the league who are older. And he does. O'Connell was a great college quarterback, at least at the San Diego State, the level he was at, right? Literally set school records. Good enough to get drafted. He was not a great pro, but he kind of looks like a court. You know what I mean? He kind of looks like he can play. We've seen him throw a football. You know what I mean? He's out there at practices and before games.
How right? tall is he? Like, how 6'5", tall is he?
6'5", I think. I can look it up. But
like that's what's what. So, like, this is another sidebar, but, like, every time I see a photo of him with, like, Mark Wilf or something, it's like him and Kwesi are just towering over poor Mark Wilf. And, like,
yeah.
Mark Wilf's, like, 6 feet. Like, he's not, like, super small, but, I mean, you'd say it. Yeah, he looks like if Kevin O'Connell decided when Kirk went down to throw on some pads and whatever, I mean, he'd look the part. He might throw as well as Josh Dobbs did, but, I mean... Yeah, he passes the eye test.
Poor Josh Dobbs. I think I think the thing is, he was drafted probably, listen, he put up yards with San Diego State, and that's not a small, small program, but they're projecting 6'5", 225. Like, that is how you build a quarterback in Madden. That is, you know what I mean? That's the height to see over the line, but you don't see a lot of, like, just monsters back there. And it's just his throwing motion. He just looks like, he looks the part, right? And I think there is some buy-in, just as you said, that, hey, this guy was McVay adjacent. I mean, that I coached under him. I think, to his credit too, he is willing to cede a little bit, meaning Wes Phillips is your offensive coordinator. He elevated him from his whatever position he was at, tight ends, whatever it was, like with the Rams. And that is a third generation guy. That's a guy whose grandpa coached the Oilers, dad coached the Cowboys. Like, these are prominent, the Phillips are very prominent people in the NFL. And he, you know what I mean? That is his offensive coordinator, someone who's older than him with a lot of experience. And Brian Flores is a guy, man. He should still be coaching the Dolphins. He should be an NFL head coach, right? And we know why, with the lawsuit and whatnot, that he's not. But he is, he still should be an NFL head coach. There's brilliance to what he does. I also think, as I said, I mean, this guy grinded tape. Like, he came up in the New England system where he's in the back room. It's a little like Eric Spoelstra. I'm trying to think of, like, this similar kind of guy where, you know, it kind of started with the tape in the back room and then kind of absorbed all this culture he learned in New England and you know, really created his own thing. You know what I mean? It's not just a defensive system that works and not just that he gets his message across the players. It's that he has the capability to scout, for lack of a better word, and then implement that directly into the system, turn Josh Metellus into a star, or at least like a local star for us. And, I think of Matt Daniels. I mean, Matt Daniels is young. I think he's 35 or something, but that is a charismatic coach. I think could be an NFL head coach. I think those guys, the special teams guys, benefit from coaching offensive, defensive players. And player development is so important, even for the Vikings, who have an established star in Jefferson, who's went out and paid for a Hawkinson, you know, traded and paid for him, greener established player. Like, you know, they have guys who are right. But it is so important that, like, a Cam Bynum, obviously a McCarthy, that a, Addison, that these young guys succeed. And for a lot of players who are fringe roster guys who you want to get value with, right? You're always going to have a sixth round pick. They rarely going to have a top 10. They start with Matt Daniels. You know what I mean? Like a Metellus or whatever. They start with him. And that's where he establishes a foundation, attention to detail and a work ethic and, a routine, right? And I think for O'Connell to have those guys on staff and not, feel threatened, it's not all guys that think like him. Like, as much as he comes from the Mandalay Bay, you know what I mean, the Mandalay Bay club, he's grabbing people who are outside of that, right? Who are not, who are not in there with Miller Lights and their, snapbacks watching Pat McAfee and Chen Broing out, right? Yeah. And I think he is grabbing people from very Mike Pettine or whatever, who years of experience as a defensive coordinator or whatever. And so I think, I don't know. I guess give him that. And this is kind of prove it time. I do think they have a grace period because there's a chance McCarthy doesn't start. I mean, we could go through where he logically would, but there's a chance he just doesn't start this year, and that's fine. He's learning footwork. He's learning the offense. Don't throw that guy in the wolves because there's too many guys. We see them as players that busted out, just didn't have it. Often they just went into the wrong situation, right? Sometimes it's a combination of both. But in some ways too, I also say if like Darnold can come in, right, and look good, you go, that's actually a good sign for McCarthy because McCarthy should be more skilled. He's younger. He's coming through the system as opposed to all over the place with the Jets and the Carolina system and you know what I mean? And kind of a backup role with San Francisco or whatever. Like, this is, McCarthy should be soup to nuts, a Minnesota Viking. And so, I don't know. I think it's an intriguing year, and it's just one of those, there's just not going to be any gimmies, right? Chicago's got I don't think they're ready to win right now, but they have their franchise guy. Detroit is legit. They're one of the best teams in the NFC. Packers had Jordan Love, and great example of why you're patient, right? They were forced to be patient because of their situation, but also it paid off. Jordan Love, I think Utah State, right? They kind of projected him off of arm strength and again, guy who looks like a quarterback and then just put like a series of receivers. Think of like how hard it is for most of these guys to draft good receivers, and the Packers have, they're almost like the Steelers or whatever, where they have all these guys, right? They don't really have a number one, but they have all these guys up and down the board, and to have all that, right? I mean, it's gonna be a tough division. It means like what they're doing, the Vikings, where it's on the fly as opposed to burning down like Chicago. You have to execute almost perfectly because there just isn't really a grace period. They kind of have this year, but even then, you talked about what expectations are. They could be a 6-win team. But if they can survive the early part of the schedule, there's actually enough kind of soft spot in the middle where they should at least kind of be in the mix, even if they end up like a 7-8 win team and you go, hey, they ended up just short. Well, they haven't even tapped in McCarthy yet. You know what I mean? You can see how like you could create a positive narrative and a positive feeling after this season, even if, you don't get the wins you want.
You mentioned people who look the part at quarterback. I looked up Dante Culpepper's height and weight. 6'4", 260 pounds.
Yeah,
like that is, you want to talk about creative players. I mean, defensive coordinators had to go on the field and go, what the fuck is that? That guy can chuck it 70 yards and he can run over a linebacker. And not like today's linebackers who are like, glorified safeties. Like, we're talking like Ray Lewis, 260 pounds, looking like, I was going to use a very bad term there for Ray Lewis, but like he's going to hit someone very, very hard. We'll go with that. Speaking of Culpepper, I think it's a good way to kind of, wind things down here on the show. JJ McCarthy, we've talked about him a little bit. I've said on the show, this is going to require a patience that Vikings fans have rarely had with really anything. Like, they want to see him win 7 games. They want to, kind of hold the course. They don't want to be really bad because then they'll be the Bears or the Lions or the Browns. I guess B team was on the tip of my tongue. I said the wrong one. But, if JJ McCarthy follows that Dante Culpepper plan, is it cause for panic? Or are we looking at JJ McCarthy like Trey Lance, who got into a couple games and just was kind of mothballed immediately?
Yeah.
Like, what are your expectations for McCarthy? And like, at what point should we go, hey, we got something here, or hey, we might want to have a plan B because this isn't working out?
Yeah, I mean, just because we reference the schedule a lot, try to be specific. And this is actually kind of tying the Darnold and the McCarthy idea together. Like, Darnold's job is to get through to the bye week, right? At New York, you should win that game. Obviously, we could say that about the playoff game too, but which is here, but against the Giants a couple of years ago. Yeah, San Francisco is a tough one, especially week two. Now it's here, right? And you pulled off the 7.5-point upset last year. I guess got to do it again with Sam Darnold if you're going to win that game.
Sam Darnold revenge game.
Darnold revenge game, because he has so much animosity for a team that brought him in and taught him the good offense. Houston, I mean, this is the thing is again, the Houston game's here, and that would have looked like nothing, but that is a good example of a team in a very more dramatic way, right? Because we need a quarterback, we need it at the end. And they just went and got both. And you look at it analytically, and it's not very smart, but they got the right quarterback, they got the right DN, they got the right coach, right? And I think when you put that combination together, all of a sudden, especially in a bad division, that's a team to be reckoned with. But, you have to, in my mind here, obviously you have to win New York. I think you probably got to get that game, or at least, I mean, you can start 1-2. But then it gets tough with it at Green Bay. I mean, that's a test immediately. Where do you stand in the division, right? And that... You don't, and this is why you have Darnold, you don't really want McCarthy just jumping in on that game. The game in New York and London, it's just different given, I covered that game. It was against New Orleans, and it's obviously in a different country. Now, granted, one that speaks English and it's one of the least intimidating places you could travel to as an American, but you are in, obviously a different stadium. Crowd is going to probably, it was a couple of years ago, it was a quarter Vikings, quarter Saints. Half just fans, right? And so they're loud and they're reacting, but it doesn't really feel like home or away. It feels like an event, right? Out of the bye, Detroit, now suddenly tough team to deal with. Now granted here, at LA, and then you get into the Indianapolis, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Chicago, however you feel about them, Arizona, Atlanta, right? I mean, that is that stretch where, like, if you're going to give McCarthy a runway and give him an opportunity, that's also a stretch, though. Like, if McCarthy's not ready, Darnold can win over fans. If he can survive that, really, like, the season gets derailed early. It's if you, let's say, assume beat New York, lose to San Francisco, lose to Houston, lose to Green Bay, all of a sudden 1-3, you're going to London. I mean, that game against London, and granted, it's 2 years ago, and this is a little different cast of characters, but this is with an experienced team. Right? You're talking Thielen, you're talking Kendricks, you're talking Cousins. I believe the Saints did not have their starting quarterback, right? They didn't have Kamara. And I'm trying to, they were like missing legit guys.
Andy Dalton started that game.
Dalton started.
Was Michael Thomas out?
I might have been
Thomas like he too. Played.
Either way, I don't think he did, because the young receiver looked good. I'm trying to remember. It was New Orleans.
Olave?
Yeah. I don't remember but I just remember it coming down to, like, Will Lutz, I think, could add a kick to tie it, to send it overtime. And he'd been like
double doink.
Right. And this is totally just like that. Is, I mean, that was that team that year, right? It was 13 wins or whatever, but it was seat of your pants, right? And like, you're hoping that eventually the Vikings create a system where they give themselves a little bit of margin. But, 1-3 going into a London game, going into a bye week, that is kind of, that'd be tough. So that's really where you have to survive, because Detroit and LA coming out. Like, if you can survive that part of it, and that's kind of Darnold's job, it's one of two things. I mean, either McCarthy's ready and they turn it over, right? Or Darnold kind of, if he can survive that and really go on a run in the mushy middle of the schedule, I actually don't know. I mean, obviously a playoff win would help, obviously all these things, but that's where, even if you trip up, you're looking at the last few games, is Seattle's Green Bay here, but Green Bay, at Detroit, tough game, right? Tough environment. We assume Detroit's in it and needs to win that game. Even if you trip up in those games that matter, and either you just miss the playoffs, you end up in a bad seed and a bad matchup, right, in the first round or whatever, Darnold comes away from that going, to the extent I could, I took advantage of the what's around me, improved defense, all these weapons. Someone pays him, because that just inevitably happens. There's just not many quarterbacks available. And it goes back to why Cousins got the guaranteed deal. I think they knew what Cousins was, right? They just said, well, like, you've won with, you think of Baltimore with Flacco and Dilfer, right? And you just had a great defense. And they were like, we still have the great defense, and I can be as healthy as 2017. You just need, we've been through all that. But another team will think like that. Another team, that helps Darnold more than the Vikings. But I like what they've done here, in that they haven't come out and said Darnold's our guy. I don't see a way McCarthy wins. I don't see a way Mullins wins. Jaren Hall is going to be an interesting guy to me, because that guy actually started games last year, right? And I don't know how he's part of their plans. I assume someone else would kind of look at him and go, hey, I'd rather have someone with a little bit of experience, and obviously would have high scouting marks on him coming out of college, and go, hey, I'm going to scoop him up or whatever. But regardless, I just think Darnold essentially goes into this going, I'm the quarterback, this is my team. And that's the mentality you have to create, because he's just going to be battle tested so much easier. Obviously, if they could create their own schedule, I think they would have divided these up, right? Because early in the season, you want some tests, right? But you want after a tough game, a feel good, you know, against a lesser opponent. And yeah, I don't know. I just think the Vikings need to make the season fun early, meaning they have to show they're competitive. They need to show, you know, like make people believe they could go on this run in the middle, you know, kind of the juicy middle of the season. And the first step is just giving Darnold that confidence, because we know there's a ceiling there. We know that it would take a lot for them to change their plans, but it's so much better instead of going McCarthy be the savior, right? And that just never works. I mean, it just, Carolina's had that issue. Look, I mean, there's more issues than that in Carolina, but a fundamental issue is they went all in to get Young. He doesn't look good. I actually believe Stroud probably is succeeding in part because of what's around him, because of the coach, because of the DN, because Houston found a way to go all in pretty quickly. You know, that's the number one thing. I think that's the thing I'm looking at as we get close to July, right? Is just, can I see a team there that makes this fun? Even if they come out with a losing record, like even if they enter the bye with a 2-3 record, and even if, you know, listen, it gets scary if it's 2-5, but you know, even if they can hold it together right out of the bye, you go, okay, they have time to make up ground. And it doesn't feel like the Dobbs thing, where Dobbs was fun, right? Because it was so unexpected. But at some point, like, Chicago realized, oh, you don't even need to blitz him. You just contain him in the pocket and make him beat you, not with his legs, not with the miraculous, right? With his literally his throw. I think he knew where to throw the ball. He just couldn't get it there. And you know, what's different here is Darnold should be able to make the throws. It's if he has that clean pocket, right? Shouldn't he be able to find Hockenson when he's healthy? Justin Jefferson, Addison, you know, take advantage of Jones being on the team.
So now that we kind of handicapped everything going into the season, obviously you write its own coverage. I write its own coverage. We got a lot of talented writers. You know, what's all going on? Because I saw somebody on Twitter say, or excuse me, X, say that Minnesota sports was in a renaissance. Then they listed a whole bunch of Gophers players, and I'm like, put the gray down, buddy. But yeah, you know, what we got going on?
Daily content on Vikings Twins was wild. Also some Packers content, and a great crew over there. It's just the enemy. But yeah, my latest piece is JJ McCarthy will go where his feet take him, just like, in a, you know, how important footwork is to him and his success, and kind of what that means. But yeah, just, I mean, as you know, just different perspectives. I mean, you said, summer's the time not to get arrested for Vikings players, right?
Yeah.
Year round, we always say, Chris Shad, don't get sued, because you come up with these crazy ideas after having 15 Red Bulls and a couple of McGoldens and watching Pat McAfee, and you come in hot, right? And Brian, being the other editor, are like, okay, Chris, settle down. What are you saying? And, you know, but you obviously come in with your perspective, and you mentioned how you write literally in every publication everywhere. But, you know, your perspective as a veteran writer, and then a lot, you know, more younger guys who I guess Freeze is more experienced, but can break down the X and O's, who just different perspectives from different people who follow these sports. So it's not just me. It's not just, you know, a whole bunch of people like me. It's, hey, maybe I'm trying to be Kevin O'Connell, right? I'm not. Listen, you and I, we can hit up Mandalay Bay, hang out with LaFleur, hang out with O'Connell, hang out with McVay. But you know, we welcome in other people outside of the Mandalay Bay Club, right? Where, you know, we want to find our Wes Phillips, we want to find our Matt Daniels, we want to find, you know, all these guys. So yeah, different perspectives, daily content on the Minnesota sports.
And I don't know if you want people to follow you on social media or not, but if you are, let's have you plug your
At @tshrier3, I have X. As you know, I don't I do promote our guys, and I think it's a good way, you know, to discover new people too, you know, beyond just me. You know, I promote the guys on our site. And yeah, as much as, you know, I'm not a huge social media guy, maybe that's being the old guy, right? But like, in among all these younger guys who write for our site, but we have a lot of good people to follow, just if you want kind of quick breakdown, right? Freeze is looking at the film, or, you know, if you're interested in some of these other teams, like in-depth basketball, in-depth baseball, you know, whatever. So in-depth hockey, right? And so yeah, you can follow me there, but in general, just hit the site every day, read what we got to say. We're going throughout the off season. You know, we're still trying to be there at least 5 times a week. So we'll find something to write about, something to think about, and kind of go back and look at important things that we should really drill down on during the season. And I'm be excited as soon as July 27th rolls around. I love training camp. I love the hype around it. I know you do too. And yeah, hopefully jump on, you know, somewhere around then we can talk about what we've seen and if the Vikings can survive this early part of the season.
I'll be in the press box at Bob Sheldon Field in Brookings, like refreshing my Twitter, just trying to get all the, sorry, X, not Twitter. I'm my bad, Elon. Don't throw me off of there. But, you know, just refreshing, trying to get every nugget from camp as I'm watching a 15-2 massacre on the field in the American Legion tournament. South Dakota American Legion. Can't talk.
Legion.
Yeah. It's so exciting. I can't talk. But yes.
No, we'll have to. Hey, it is the home of Caleb Thielbar. I'm trying to think who else. South Dakota State, great. But unfortunately, it's not the home to the bars that I went to in Hobo Days in 2014. Brookings has changed.
It has a little bit, but yeah. they saw Shad coming. We need to adapt.
We need more bars.
We need more bars. Open them up. Well, you can follow me on social media at The Real Chris Shad. Thank you, as always, for coming on, Tom. But that's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Tom Schreier, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.